This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome to the Carol Cox Show. I thought we'd give you a little bit of pepper-upper the A-Train. This morning, beautiful Sunday morning here in Honolulu, and I'm excited and welcoming my guest, Miss Ann Kobayashi, Councilwoman. Good morning, Ann. How are you?
Thank you very much for having me on your show.
Right. I know that you are now running for, I should say, a mayoral candidate, Dan
yes.
Kobayashi. And I'm, again, happy that you joined us, and I hope that this, what little we can do to serve as a forum to let the public hear your approach and your ideas about government and city government and issues. But you've had a background in government services.
So. Yes, I served in the legislature, and now I'm on the, I kind of retired from that, but did volunteer work, and then got onto the city council when there was an opening.
I see.
And here I am running for mayor.
Yeah, I'm really, I'm interested in knowing that when I read the papers, I see the mayor, the existing mayor, Mayor Hanneman,
mm-hmm.
has an 80% rating, approval rating, or vote, for, however, I don't personally believe in polls. It depends
mm-hmm.
on who's taking the poll, and polls can be used for many things, and I'm cautious about that, but also he has a war chest.
Yes.
At least 3 million.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have a situation where he has at his disposal every single division, branch, agency, office, personnel, appointees, directors of these agencies to get his word and spread his word. How are you
mm-hmm.
going to combat that?
Well, you know, that's why I had a last-minute decision. It was truly a last-minute decision. I've been criticized that I did it in order to enable someone else to take over and all that. But, you know, I was unopposed in my council race. So here I could just walk into an election because no one was running against me. Instead, I'm in a race with all of the factors that you just named. Why would I do that? But so many people have come up to me and asked me to run over the months because they want more open government. And I was just appalled that what happened to the Stop Rail Now group. You know, whether you support or oppose rail, the people should have a voice. And that's what this my campaign is all about. It's our campaign with the people. We need to bring power back to the people. We should not have a city where people are afraid to talk, afraid to have an opposing view to the administration. We have to bring power back to the people. And so, you know, our campaign doesn't have a lot of money, but we have a lot of people power, and that's what we're working with.
Well, I have been at the receiving end of some of this behavior, bullying, and I've been denied, or actually letters have been written by the division chief at, for example, Environmental Services, banning me from attending any public facility. Hanneman didn't sign that, but it was caught before someone informed me. So, but Takamura is the one who actually signed it. And so this is the kind of behavior, and what they also do, if you have an objection to anything that they do. You read in the paper, for example, I'm a self-appointed environmentalist. And so when you take on that attitude, that bullying attitude, I'm
mm-hmm.
concerned, and I'm excited to see you and others in the race to do just that, to give the public a voice, and not to just have to pick up that paper every morning and see that everything is favorable, but I know personally that there are many issues within city government
mm-hmm.
that is failing and tattered, just broken.
There were some other polls taken that show he had a 62% approval rating and that it had gone down to like 52. And so the 80%, you know, you can take a poll on how many want peace in the world and you can't even get 80%. So, I mean, I question that poll. It was a poll taken among residents, not registered voters, and we don't know, you know, from what area that poll was
mm-hmm.
taken.
Mm-hmm.
But the good thing about that is it really energized our campaign. It made people call and want to volunteer and help. It was just amazing, the energy that was generated from that poll.
Yeah. I said earlier and asked the question, how are you going to contend or compete with the fact that he has at his disposal city government? Today at 12 o'clock, schedule is what he has called the first, the mayor, the first Opala Olympics. And in their brochure, it said it's sold out. Now, that could have many meanings. Has he sold out? It appears that many of things, but I don't know what that means. But they're in Pearl City, they're going to have city workers. And I've spent some time looking into this, and yesterday photographing city workers standing around doing nothing, getting paid overtime to wash city trucks to participate in this Opala Olympics. Now, that's money that could be spent in the actual services, in the training of the people. They're going to be, they paid a Koi's catering to cater food. They're having Fiji. But now, even graver concerns is that there is one city worker who in turn has a restraining order against the supervisor who is heading some of this activity. That city worker was called and a phone message left that he cannot participate and cannot come to this function because now he doesn't have a restraining order against him. So also they're going to videotape this, and Olelo is going to be there. So is this really anything to do with bettering city business, or is it to do with promoting the Hanneman administration? So I'll let you...
I mean, those are the reasons I'm running for mayor.
Mm-hmm.
We can't have... You know, the economy is very bad now. People are being laid off. Many of our senior citizens have to decide whether to buy medicine or buy food because of the high cost. And then we're going to have money spent on an event like this?
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't make sense.
It says it's touted as helpful to the families and the workers. But again, I it strikes me as being self-serving, self-promoting. And I don't say that that is very, very bad, but it's fiscally irresponsible
mm-hmm.
when we have the situation we have today.
Mm-hmm.
And I had asked others about the senior citizens and the impact of these actions and activities and the rail that would have
mm-hmm.
on senior citizens. What do you have?
I agree. There'll be a huge impact. If we can cut costs, then we can cut property tax. And you've been to many of the property tax hearings, and you see the relationship. You cut the cost of running the city, you can lower property tax.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, all of this kind of waste is... It's just awful, and it's not open. There's no openness and accountability
mm-hmm.
into how the money's being spent.
Mm-hmm.
Do we know how much is being spent on this event alone with the overtime, as you say, the amount of hours that were put in before the event and after the event? It's appalling that we can do things in city government, in government,
mm-hmm.
without accountability. The same with the rail.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much are we spending? What is the true cost? Those, you know, what is the true cost of just a small event like this?
Mm-hmm. Well, I am searching many avenues to come up with an explanation. I'll give you an example. There's a company, a law firm called Williams Mullen on the mainland, Foster Pepper LLC. And there's another one, Oric Harrington and Sutcliffe. Now, I asked questions at the Environmental Services Department, and what I found is that the response I got was that this is three law firms about our legal consultants contracted to provide legal advice in specialized areas of law. The specific response to the question is followed. Basically, it was about H-Power. It's about recycling trash and handling of trash. Haven't we spent enough money on these issues? Why do we need more consultants? I'm going to steal a term that someone told me once. They should be called co-insultants. And that it's getting sickening. So how would you as mayor, would you be open to this and try to avoid, steer clear of these big consulting fees?
Definitely. I'm really appalled at the amount of money that's being spent on consultants, needlessly, I think, because we have so many good employees in the city.
Mm-hmm.
They can help do the job. We have great firms here on this island who can provide services. Why are we, in the first place, what is the need for the consultant? I didn't know those consultants were hired. And That's a, you know, we need openness and accountability, and I'm appalled that you are not allowed to get the information that you truly want and need to help the taxpayers know what's going on.
Well, I, unfortunately, well, I can claim that I did, in fact, share this information prior to the mayor becoming mayor with him. And I was, as he called me on one occasion, Johnny on the spot. Now it's don't come near us. But again, once you're in, but it's, I'm not here to discuss how bad he is, but to say that the public should be aware, and hopefully I can take this opportunity and you just share with the public what it is, what are some of your plans, what do you want to do, what goals that you have, and what do you see for the future.
I know that this phrase is always used, you know, that that change is needed. But in this case, you know, there's just too much money being spent on consultants needlessly. And why are these consultants being hired?
Right.
For what reason? Is it, some have said campaign contributions, because they give campaign contributions. What is really interesting is that Parsons Brinckerhoff received already $100 million of taxpayers' money to consult. And then three people from Parsons left Parsons and formed their own company called Infra. I think they're called Infra Consult. I've asked for information about this but have not received it. They had like five employees, very little assets, and another company that was trying to bid for this consultant job had, you know, like, oh, just hundreds of millions of dollars in assets, 2,000 employees, and who do you think won that contract for $11 million? Infra Consult. I mean, you know, stuff like this, you can't fool the public. But let's let the public know what's going on. That is the bottom line. The taxpayer needs to know how their money is being spent and why.
Right. Well, this week I spent about 4 days chasing. It's been, there have been tidbits out in the open about the Committee for Balanced Transportation. Now, that was founded in 2004. The Committee for Balanced Transportation was founded, or members, board members were Mr. Jim Lyon, Mr. Roger Morton, Mr. Wes Fitzpatrick, and a couple others. Well, the Committee for Balanced Transportation is actually Go Rail Go. Go Rail Go is represented as being a citizen group, public group, that is just excited and only out there to move along to get this rail. They're excited about the rail, but the reality is that apparently, there's been some talk about this here and there. So these gentlemen abandoned ship, so to speak, and recruited and brought on these four citizens, Maida Timpson and a few others that came aboard. Now, in asking, now, Lyon Association Engineering has received money, Jim Lyon, and Mr. Kenneth Wong. I've been trying to contact him, and he's now the director or treasury. I don't have the documents in front of me that I pulled from DCCA. But Mr. Wong has been involved some while back, all along. So this is not a, this Go Rail Go is really not a community group. So how do you compete or contend with
that? I know.
How are you going to do it?
And before that, though, what is, a lot of taxpayers' money was being used to push and railroad rail. But why do we need these groups? What is the purpose?
Right.
I mean, why are we spending so much money on advertising this rail project? Well, you know, if it's that well-liked, if the mayor keeps saying that people will overwhelmingly vote for rail, So why are we spending all this money to convince people?
And if we do know that we need to improve our transportation system.
Yes.
What it is, I don't know. But what I just get this sickening feeling that I'm being railroaded, and I'm I pick up the paper, and it's I've never seen any government project that runs as smooth as this one is being represented by the papers and by the Hanneman administration. So if you were mayor, what would you do to try and recover or to address the spent monies? Or what would you do? What
I know,
would
it's,
you take?
Well, you know, there are alternatives, and people don't know about them. And there are alternatives to rail, because rail means steel on steel with track. Or you can't have rubber tire. That is not rail, because there's no track. There are alternatives that work just as well as steel on steel, better for our environment than steel on steel. And it's less than half the cost. But, you know, these kind of projects, and Panos Prevadoris has some great ideas about how to improve traffic congestion. I would have a true open forum where all of these ideas can be presented, or as Mr. Frank Gennadio has testified many times, that the government should have opened up the process and said, okay, what technologies are out there? Bring them forward, and let's openly look at all of these alternatives and then choose what's best. And still, I think that the public, because it's a $5 billion project, the public has the right to vote.
Well, changing tracks for a minute. Being consistent, though, with what the storyline here is, we look at our solid waste management. We talk about alternatives. We have a train, and we fail to look at an alternative. There seems to be a pattern here with this administration, and that he tell you that give us the alternatives. If you come up with a better alternative, then we'll consider that. It is his job to look for alternative. It is his promises that he would better this recycling and handling of the solid waste. But instead, he takes on an attitude that the public is wrong and he has exhausted all means. What would you do to address the solid and hazardous waste and the municipal waste and all those things and recycling?
Exactly. And, you know, I think that the source, we have to look at the source, the recycling and H-Power. H-Power has technology that is really, I always said it, ancient. And there are lots of new technologies out there that we should look at. You know, the city bought 23 acres of land right next to H-Power for the purpose of trying out these new technologies, because H-Power has to be improved. That's why the landfill is just overflowing, because a lot of the waste, many times H-Power is not operating, and then the you can see all the trucks going directly to the landfill. Every day, ash goes into the landfill, which is a residue from the technology at H-Power. There are new technologies where there isn't any, very little residue. And the residue that is there can be made into material that can be used to repair our roads, to even help in the building of buildings. So, you know, let's look at these alternatives. Why is it we go with the same companies?
Right. And if we, the public only knew that, for example, the landfill, the permit to operate that landfill expired on April 30th of this year. So they're actually were operating, and I don't know what has happened behind closed doors. Now, they may have, after hearing me say this before, hurried, and as they normally do, and give a permit. But there was no permit issued, and there's been no public input for a new permit. And I don't know if there's an application in. So why would we look to expand this landfill and extend the life of it when we don't have a permit to operate it? How would you address that?
Well, see, I'm always for openness and honesty in government. And that's why, especially the procurement process, the bid process, has to be open. We have to know, even in the matter of the animal contract, it was delayed maybe a couple years that we're operating without a contract. Mm-hmm. So things like this should not happen mm-hmm. because, and everyone should have a fair chance of competing for the jobs. We have many good companies in this state. The University of Hawaii developed a technology, and they have a patent for it that would be great for H-Power. And 10% of the revenue from the sale of energy to the electric company, 10% would go back to the University of Hawaii. What a win-win situation. But, you know, these companies are not allowed to participate in... It's not an open process. Mm-hmm. That's what we need, an open process. And if a bid is won fairly, fine. If a bid is ended and there's no new contract, why?
Well, what I'm going to do is take a break for a brief period mm-hmm. here. And you're with the Carol Cox Show, and my guest is Ms. Ann Kobayashi, mayoral candidate for Honolulu. So hang in there, and if you'd like to give a call in, it's 524-1080, 524-1080. Okay.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please, because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jindai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the Northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. We are sitting here with my guest, Ms. Ann Kobayashi, councilwoman, mayoral candidate. And Ann, again, thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me on your show.
Now, we have a call online. Nancy?
Yes, hi.
Hi, Nancy. You have a question for Ms. Kobayashi?
Yes. I was wondering about, you were talking about alternatives and exploring alternatives, and don't they have to do like an environmental assessment or impact statement for this rail? And aren't they supposed to, by law, explore alternatives? And if so, is that being done? Do you know anything about that?
Well, you know, scoping meetings were held, and But there wasn't an open process. I think the mayor had already declared that he wanted a steel-on-steel rail. So that had already been chosen. So when people try to talk about alternatives, and that's another reason there's another mayoral candidate, because he was cut off when he tried to talk about alternatives and ask about it. And at the city council, it has been very difficult to try to get information about the cost of the... That's what concerns many of us the most, is the cost. If we can get the same thing with another technology, why not?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not necessarily opposed to it,
mm-hmm.
but I'd like to see all alternatives explored rather than just having something shut down my throat.
Exactly. And, Nancy, I feel the same way. You know, when we just buy a refrigerator, you just don't go out and just buy a refrigerator. You look at all the different models, what's good, what technology, and then you spend the money. So, and an EIS, a draft EIS was due, I think it was by the end of 2006, and then that deadline got moved, and they told us it would be the middle of 2007, but we still have not received that.
Well, thank you for checking into it.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay, thank you, Nancy, and hang in there. Got another caller, Robert. Robert, you have a question for Ms. Kobayashi?
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you, Ann, for running for mayor.
Thank you.
We need competition, and I think, what was it, the New York started the rail on steel in 1915 or 20.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost 100 years old, the technology now. So I think we live in a new world age, and I think there is better technologies. And this guy here, he's shoving it down our throat. And to me, this is just a development project, because all along the rail system, you know, the line is going to be more and more development. And they're going to defeat the purpose of controlling, you know, the congestion. They're going to make mm-hmm. more congestion in the long run by doing this, you know, without the proper planning. What would you think?
I agree with you. And, you know, we need mass transit, but there is an alternative that I was supporting and several other council members were supporting and many members of the public. It was a rubber tire on concrete vehicle. It looks like a train, acts like a train. It would do the same thing, but the main point is that it would be less than half the cost. And it doesn't use a lot of electricity. You wouldn't have to put power stations along the line. You wouldn't have to insulate the elevated guideway system. It would be like a regular high elevated highway, and this vehicle would go on it, and you could start an express vehicle from Waianae, Eva Beach, Makakilo, and go straight onto the elevated and come into town. With the steel-on-steel train, well, with a train, you have to have track. And that's what limits the whole system and adds to the cost. With this other vehicle, there is no track. So it can go on the regular road. If there's a disaster, you take all the vehicles off, and the fire engine and ambulances can use the elevated guideway system because there is no track. And in Korea, they're using fuel cells for these vehicles, so it's great for the environment.
Well,
but the main thing is less than half the cost.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the new technologies are just on the verge, right on the lip of becoming, you know, realized by transportation industry. So I don't know why we're jumping into this thing with 100-year-old technology.
Exactly.
It's for the unions and it's for development. And I hope you win. I'm going to vote for you. And I hope
thank you.
Because I think you got the better idea. You have a nice day.
Thank you
thank you very much.
Robert, thank you for giving us a call. Anne, what are the things here? And I want to say to the public, as I've known you in my capacity as a environmentalist activist, I've come to you many occasions and gotten good results and just the best of treatment from you as a citizen, and I'm always happy to know that there's someone in there that I can get a straight answer for. And you mentioned about the contract with the animal contract, the Humane Society. That needs some addressment, and hopefully as mayor you would be able to do that. And there's people out there spending their hard-earned dollars, their time, to do what the agency should be doing, protecting the animals, treating them with care and kindness, and treating them and reducing the population through trap, neuter, release. And that is important. The problem isn't going to go away, and it's just unfortunate that even today the people that are out there trying to address the problem are not really getting the support. And I don't think this administration has really even given it a look at, just a glance. So would you be addressing that as mayor?
Yeah, well, several years ago when I was budget chair, I noticed that in our ordinance, it stated that the animal rights contract would go to the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
I said, why do we write into the ordinance what company, what architect would receive a contract?
Right.
So we had that changed, and you know, we should never assign a contract to a company in an ordinance.
Yeah, and
so that was stopped, and we're looking, you know, that's what I'm saying. We need openness.
Yeah, I can offer that as a testament, because if you recall, I'm the one who approached you and saying, Ms. Kobayashi, how could this be?
Mm-hmm.
A contract is written into law guaranteeing the Humane Society.
Mm-hmm.
Never heard of anything like that. I'm from Mississippi, and we're even a little wiser than that. And I mean, you know, to have a law. And folks out there, what happened was it took no hemming and hawing, and it wasn't a politicized effort. Ms. Kobayashi took that and ran with it, and immediately, I think it almost in the not geological time, it happened in human time, and it changed. So I'm forever grateful that when you now say that you will address procurement and what have you, there is a proof right there that you're not just whistling in the wind,
right.
Whistling Dixie.
I worry about the procurement process is a very, you know, secretive process, and rightly so, I guess, because, I mean, not rightly so, but because people are bidding and you can't have that information made public.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are ways to do it. We need independent committees that make these choices. And I have nothing, like in the animal rights contract, I have nothing against the Humane Society. They're a great organization. But their name should not be in an ordinance.
Right.
Yeah. And thank you for calling that to our attention.
Yeah, well, thank you for letting government work. That really was, I was impressed with that. But another subject, we talk about animals, and we talk about the consultants and the taxpayers. What about our homeless people? I mean, at some point, I served 3 years in the military, and I volunteered when I was 17 because I wanted to serve my country. But it seems like all of that I believe in is unraveling and unfolding right before my eyes, in that we don't have any compassion. Now, I'm not advocating that people be allowed to live in parks and gather, but could we, or you as mayor, take a different approach than sending the police? We could have policemen there on a routine basis. We have more policemen for the taste of Honolulu than we have policemen out there patrolling our parks and reduction of crime. So why are we hustling the people out and treating them like dogs, basically? And I'll say that, and anyone that take offense of that, human beings should be put first, and we're not putting them first. So what would you do as mayor to show a sensitive side and not herd the people off the beaches? And what would you put in place to show a softer side of the city?
Well, there has to be a commitment to helping people. In Pennsylvania, it was either Philadelphia or Pittsburgh, they committed $60 million to improve the homeless situation. What they did was take over old hotels or apartment buildings, and they housed people in there. However, there was a follow-up. You train them, provide child care so that women could go back to school or work, provide all these essential services, and then follow up for a year after to make sure that everything is okay. Because it's difficult to make it out there in the world, as we all know.
Mm-hmm.
It's difficult to get an apartment. And I always felt the same way about people who come out of prisons. They have a very hard time, and many of them are homeless because no one will rent to them, no one will give them a job. We have to have compassion, as you say, for all human beings. You have to overlook whatever happened before. It's not forever, and we have to keep working with people and providing services healing people. That's what's really important. People who are on drugs, we must heal them, not just warehouse them in a prison, which is paid for by taxpayers. Mm-hmm. As you say, the money could be used elsewhere.
Yeah, and so you as mayor would approach this differently.
Oh yes, we you know, where are they going to go? I know the parks are there for public use.
Mm-hmm.
But let's work with the state. Let's work. I like to work collaboratively with other governments, mm-hmm. other groups. Let's find ways we can all work together. The state has resources, the federal government, and there are many good nonprofit groups out there. Let's work together mm-hmm. and find the solution. Let's be committed.
And you know what pains me is that in all of this, there are children
exactly.
involved. And when we don't display compassion to
mm-hmm.
them, I'm sorry, there is no administration on this planet that should be allowed to behave in the fashion that the Hanneman administration is behaving. Issues of affordable housing, when we have construction, DPP should be enforcing strictly the conditions where they say if you get a variance, if you get a zoning change and the condition is to provide certain housing, affordable housing, it should be adhered to and enforced. But what is lacking here in this administration, folks, is that we don't have the full enforcement of the contractual agreements with the developers in affordable homes.
And sometimes those factors are negotiable.
Mm-hmm.
So Councilmember De La Cruz and I introduced legislation so that those kinds of factors are not negotiable. They would mm-hmm. be in the ordinance.
Mm-hmm. Well, we have another call. Matthew, are you there?
Good morning, Carol.
Good morning, and you have a question for Ms. Kobayashi?
Yeah, I'd like to ask Ms. Kobayashi, what are your two most important issues for your candidacy, and also, what do you think about the current administration's, I guess, foot dragging on the island-wide recycling? I mean, they've been putting out pilot programs, it seems, since they started claiming for island-wide recycling.
Yes, you know, I've always worked to protect the resources on this island. We are on an island, so we have to make sure that we're not wasting, that we're not abusing. And that's why I've been against a steel train going through our island, because of the resources and the landscape, the human part of the environment too. So I think my two priorities are: one is to protect the resources on our island, and the second is to improve the quality of life for our taxpayers. They can't keep paying and paying. How are our senior citizens, you know, many senior citizens have to decide, should I buy food or should I buy medicine? We should not be in that kind of situation.
As a follow-up, what do you think is the most wasteful or work do you make the most cuts in the city budget, considering the upcoming slim times?
Well, I would start when I am mayor, I would start in the mayor's office and start looking at ways to cut and then work down. You know, 1,000 new people were added to the payroll of the city. And during these tough times, you know, let's really look at how we can not cut public safety services, but waste, consultants. There are places that we can cut. Yes. Hello? Oh.
Well, Matt, thank you for calling in, and if there's anybody else out there, Ms. Kobayashi, if people wanted to join in and support you or write you or complain to you, how would they contact you, and could you give us that information?
Yes, we're setting up a website. I believe it's annkobayashi.com. Or they were looking at Ann Kobayashi Mayor. But I think it's annkobayashi.com, and a website's being set up. We're getting together, we're right now, right at this minute, cleaning up space at University Square for our headquarters, and then phones will be installed, and we'll make that information public. It's the old Central Pacific Bank facility at University Square. So we're hoping that people will come by. As I say, our campaign is really to bring power back to the people.
And do you have an email, anything that in the interim that people can contact you?
Well, I have my own at home, ann.kobayashi@gmail.com.
Okay. We're going to take a brief break here, and we'll get back to you. This is the Carol Cox Show, and you can listen in on this topic or this talk on carolcox.com podcast. That's Carol, CarolCox.com, and you can download the or listen to the this show today.
If you're like me, you're looking for ways to save money on gas and help the environment, the EPA Smart Driving Tips could give you more miles per gallon and reduce air pollution. Make sure your tires are properly inflated. Accelerate and brake slowly. Slowly. Be aware of your speed. If you're shopping for a new car, choose the cleanest, most efficient vehicle that meets your needs. If we each adopt just one of these tips, we'd get more miles for our money and breathe a little easier. For more info, visit epa.gov/greenvehicles.
Welcome back to the Carol Cox Show. Again, my guest is Ms. Ann Kobayashi, mayoral candidate. And Ms. Kobayashi, you got anything you'd like to share with the listeners out there? And also just want to add is that coming up next is the Hawaii Bulletin Board with Calvin Griffin. And Ms. Kobayashi is going to hang around for a while in the studios to answer your calls if you have any interest in talking with her. Again, 524-1080 at KWAI. Okay.
Sure. Well, you know, the reason I am a mayoral candidate is I'm just worried about what's happening to our city. And I think the people have to take the city back and be more being able to participate in city government. I, you know, as I said earlier, I had an unopposed race. I could have just stayed at the city council. However, when I see what is happening to our city, people are afraid. And that's not how life should be. That's not a democracy. People should be able to speak out. We should work closer with EPA. At the EPA hearing at Washington School a while back when we talked about the waiver for the wastewater treatment plant, mm-hmm. I was appalled that the administration was actually booing people mm-hmm. who went up to speak if it was an opposing view. We should listen to opposing views. We should get information from the public, get ideas from the public. We should work with the EPA rather than fighting them. We should work with the Sierra Club rather than opposing what they say mm-hmm. And getting into a lawsuit. It's using taxpayers' money needlessly when we could be working collaboratively with federal government, state government, and private industry. Mm-hmm. We have to look at ways to run the city in a way with leadership that is not bullying.
Right.
We have to listen to the people as to this rail system. We can't just railroad something through.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm really concerned for the people out there in the Waianae side. What has happened to them? They were promised that the landfill would be closed. They were promised many of things and the other landfill issues. I'm hoping that with the new administration, they will follow through and give the people out there the respect mm-hmm. that's due and work, be aggressive in reducing the amount of waste that goes there right now, opposed to waiting mm-hmm. and procrastinating and putting it off. It pains me to no end that they were promised something and Basically, now that the mayor got in, I'll just tell you the truth, he got in, and he has abandoned those folks. And then just this week, last week, I saw some of the people that are hoping to get rid of the landfill is out running behind him and supporting. So I don't believe that they realize how they're being hoodwinked.
Mm-hmm.
For example, he didn't keep his promise of closing the landfill at Wamanawa Gulch. But he could have gotten rid of the contractor who violated the law. So what would you say about that? How would you have handled that as mayor? Do you think he handled appropriately to defend someone that was contracting and violated and cost that millions of dollars in fines?
But one thing you said is really important is the people out there deserve the respect. They were promised that the landfill would be closed, and then when they brought it up later, when the city, on the other hand, is asking for a 15-year extension, then the people out there were told, well, you heard wrong, when they reminded the mayor about his promise.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the contractor out there, you know, there are many questions, but as I say, there are many questions with the contractor at H-Power.
Mm-hmm.
And yet we keep using the same people without looking into the concerns of the people.
Mm-hmm. Well, this pattern, that the way this administration behaves, when the issues of Wamanawa Gulch came up, when they were violating, and you saw that in the news, the way the administration treated this was a nice cover ad or cover story in the Honolulu Advertiser to say how great they were doing, and close the doors and go behind closed doors with the state and the city. Nothing happened. Sand Island Treatment Plant. He goes and he argues with EPA, and then if you look at some of his ads, he talks about how he's done and treating sewage and what have you, and he's spent more money than the other administrations have put together for 12 years or something. I didn't understand the rhetoric, but again, all of that is not true. And how much did it cost, you being a city council person, how much did it cost for that emergency bypass? Do you have any idea?
Yes. We're getting figures on that because we were told that, but at first they said it would be $8 million to fix all that,
mm-hmm.
which is, you know, unbelievable.
Mm-hmm.
And then went up to $12 million and then up to $20 million. And I understand that the final cost is way over that. Nearly every job at the city has cost overruns.
Mm-hmm.
And it's, you know, that the procurement process also has to be looked in. Does a low bidder get the job, and then it's not enough money, so they get paid more.
Mm-hmm.
And the more qualified contractor maybe didn't get the job because his cost was actually high, but it's still less
right.
than the amount that's being paid to the low bidder. So all of these things have to be looked into and made transparent.
But it takes some audacity. You've got to have some really, really, you got to be aggressive and bold to do what he has done. First, he dumps this water in the Alawai, right? It wasn't a spill. He dumped it. And then in turn, he had emergency contracts. And as you're now sharing with us, we don't know the exact dollar amount. And then he turns around and tells us that he spent more money than the previous administrations.
Yeah.
Folks, you need to look beyond the rhetoric, look beyond the pretty ads. He has $3 million, but I don't believe $3 million can buy honesty. And it's your government, and if you don't follow up, and if you swallow everything that's been served up to you by this administration, I can only say my hat's off to you and go to the doctor and complain, because here's your opportunity to look at the candidates. Mr. Prevedores was here last week, and Ms. Kobayashi is here today. And so next week we're going to have, in a continuation of this, I'm going to have Mr. Chuck Tato from the City Ethics Office. So please join us. And Ann, thank you. And
thank you.
Hang around. And again, this she will be available for questions on the Calvin Griffin Hawaii Bulletin Board.
Fish lovers of Hawaii, listen up, please. because there's some good news and some bad news. The bad news is that the state and federal governments have closed the main Hawaiian Islands fisheries for 7 bottom fish species. This closure affects the so-called Deep Seven, meaning Opakapaka, Kalikali, Onaga, Ehu, Jendai, Sea Bass, and Lehi. So from now until September 1st, you can't catch them, eat them, give them away, or even have one on your boat. The good news is that the Deep Seven fisheries of the northwestern Hawaiian Islands are loaded with fish and are open year-round. Not too many boats are allowed to fish the northwest these days, but you can ask your favorite fish store or restaurant to keep an eye out for you when their catches do arrive at the fish auction. So good luck and bon appetit.
This is KWAI Honolulu.